Hallelujah. Amen. I'm not sure I'm the one that deserved that ovation. So let's give God an offering of praise, thanksgiving, worship. Lift his name on high. Scream if you can. That's not good enough, church. Open it up loud. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Today, I planned on speaking on something that we already know, knowing God. If we are here, that's half of the battle done. It means to a reasonable extent, we know him. So for some of us, it will be a refresher. For some of us, it will be something that will kickstart something else inside of us to bring us to a closer knowledge of our Father, God Almighty. So we'll look at some of the things that the Bible says about God and what he says about himself and how we should relate with him. Hopefully, I know this 25-30 minutes is not enough to begin to break down who God is, but I hope it will be like a spark to start something else up in a nice direction. Amen. So I'm going to start us off with a reading from Jeremiah 29, from verse 10 to 14a. This is what the Lord says when 70 years are completed for Babylon. I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Hallelujah. You will seek me and find me, and when you seek me with all your hearts, I will be found by you, declares the Lord. Amen. So, we as Christians, we know our God. God is our creator, we know that. He's the creator of everything beyond what we can see or even begin to imagine. There's a guy called Albert Einstein, and he tried to talk about what the universe looks like. And he says that if you pack that hall, Albert Hall, they call it in London, if you pack it with peas, garden peas, to the brim, every nook and cranny of it jam-packed with peas, that's you scratching what the universe looks like with all the planetary bodies scattered about. That's just to begin to open your mind to imagine God, who he is. When Moses was going into the presence of God, Moses was walking about and God was revealing himself to Moses. And there was a burning bush and Moses was coming close. And the voice told Moses, take off your shoes, for the land you're standing on is a holy ground. And Moses was coming through. And God was giving him instructions to go and tell the children of Israel who he is, that he will deliver them. And Moses was a bit confused. He's a bit reluctant. He says, I'm a stammerer, Lord. I'm this and that. He tried to downplay himself like we all do nowadays. When God sends us to do something, we're holding back. We're thinking we are not good enough. We have one excuse or the other. But hear what God says about himself there. He says, go tell the people, I am that I am. Hallelujah. On an open face, you look at it, I am that I am. What is it? So simple, it's nothing. But in real sense, it's everything. Begin to open your mind to see. The philosophers have tried to expound on this, I am that I am. I hear, God says. I am that I am. What it means is I will become what I choose to become. I am what I am. Nobody can really tell what I am than what I have made myself to be. I create whatever I create. That is what I am. I am that I am. I am the existing one. I am not created by anybody. I am me. Are you beginning to get the meaning of this declaration by God of who he is? Again, it means I am with you. It means I am without equal. I am. I am. It says, I am the being. He's the existence that brings all other existence into existence. He is the creator, not the created. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. He's everywhere. David declares, even when I go into the deep, I know you are there with me. I run through the fire, I will not be hurt because you are with me. Where can I go from you, Lord? He says. Because wherever we are, God is with us. And that's the God we're trying to know and serve and be subservient to. Because he's above everything. He transcends all. So the concept of knowing God is central to our belief. The journey of a Christian faith begins with acknowledging the higher existence. And this higher existence, we Christians call God. In various dialects, we have different names for him. The center of Christianity is God. Without God, we are nothing. We are God-centered. God himself is the core of our belief. So, where do you stand today? In your thinking, is God something that is far remote from you? Is it something you refer to when you choose to, or when you're in trouble, or when all is lost, or when you're having a more joyous moment? God is with you. He's closer to you than the thong that is in your mouth. He's right inside your heart. But the journey of knowing God starts somewhere.
Try that. Thank you.
The people that know their God shall be strong to start with and will do exploits. When we go through the Bible, we see a lot of stuff that's happened and people and what they have accomplished. I think of a guy called Joshua. Hello, Josh. This guy is so powerful. They sent them out to go and explore a land, and every other person says, no, there are giants in this land. There are these in this land. We cannot conquer this land. Joshua knew his God. He said, God has given us this land. There may be giants on our way to hinder, but we will get victory. And he came back, and of all the people that Moses sent to go and explore the land, him And Caleb came back and they say, surely, yes, there are giants there. Yes, there are things to conquer there, but our God is more than able. That land is flowing with milk and honey, and we will take it over. And of all the people that left Egypt, Joshua was the one that went into the promised land. Why? Because he knows his God. There are stories of people who knew God in the Bible, loads of them. Where do I start? Abraham, for instance, the father of faith, he's called. This guy was so old and he had no hair. And then it happened. His wife told him, take my maid, have a child for you. But the promise of God held true in the life of Abraham. His wife of 90-something years old gave birth to a son called Isaac. And then the time came, this son of promise was demanded of to be made as a sacrifice. And Abraham took this son. In those days, sacrifice was meant to happen because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. It's a law that stands. Even in the pagan religions of Africa today, what we do is if there is anything wrong, they get a cockerel, a something, and they have to be split a blood to cover that sin. If not, there will be a boomeranging on you for doing whatever you've done wrong. So these principles are principles that are ingrained in nature. And the Bible reiterated it that a soul that sinneth will surely die. But the grace of God came through Christ Jesus that we no longer have to die because Christ took our sins upon himself and died on the cross for us. But back to the story of Abraham and his son Isaac. This man is old. There is no hope of making another child. This is the child of promise. And this word in his head, which is the voice of God, was telling him, sacrifice. He did not hesitate. He picked his child, tied the wood behind him, and they went to the mountain of Moreb to go and sacrifice. And Isaac opened up his mouth. Dad, we have everything we need for the sacrifice, but there is no ram. And he says, God will provide. Without wavering, he put his son on there to sacrifice unto God. That means we have to give our lives to God without reservation. There's nothing more precious to us than God. That is the demand that God makes on us. Are we able to do that? Or have we put him to somewhere where we only go when we need stuff, but we are not able to commit to serving him? And so, God told him to stop, turn around, and God provides a lamb for sacrifice. God provides a lamb for sacrifice. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Because when we have fallen short, God made a way. When our sins were overwhelming, that we deserve to rot, he gave the righteous son to die in our stead. Open your heart to God. That's what he wants from you. So, I wanted us to explore the attributes of God. Who God is, what he does. He's a merciful God. He's impeccable. There is no sin in him. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. He's gracious. He's everlasting. He's the creator. He's self-sufficient. He doesn't actually need us. He's almighty. There is nobody that's beyond him. He's righteous. There is no sin in him. He's omnipotent. There's nothing he cannot do. He's self-existent. He created himself. There is no beginning of him and there is no end of him. He's compassionate. So when we are down low, he raises us up. He's immutable. Whatever he says, that is what he will do. He is incapable of revising on whatever he says because he is who he is. There is no mistakes in him for him to change anything. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. Wherever you go, in the dark, in the light, wherever, he's there. He can see. He's the Redeemer. He's our Savior. He brings us up from the merry clay onto solid ground. He's all powerful. There's no power that's beyond him. But then the question arises, is it possible that we know an eternal God? How can a finite mind grasp the infinite? How can we who are time bound grasp the idea of God that lives in timelessness? With this mindset, Isaiah wrote, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. For as far as the heavens are from the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." This is not meant as a discouragement. This is meant to uplift us to know that wherever we are with our mindset that we think we have reached the limit, we haven't, because we can't even grasp who we have with us. Because God is with us. So yes, we can know God. I take a reading from 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12. He says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know things that have been freely given to us by God." So the spirit of God works in us, and it reveals stuff to us, and it enables us, and it moves us. So all we need to do is relax and be open to the Spirit of God, and it will work this stuff through us. Another verse in Jeremiah says, "Yes, you will seek me, and you will find me. And when you seek me with all your heart," it's part of the earlier thing that we read, where God is making declarations about what we can be, how we can know him. So yes, we can know God. We may not be able to comprehend his bigness, his mightiness, his intelligence, his everything. But yes, he allows us to get a glimpse into who he is. And that should do. Because right now we are mortals. He is an immortal God. Right now our brain is contained with matter. It will come to a time when we'll become spirits and we will be more like him. So we know God by seeking a personal encounter with him. And that is where our work begins. We come to him, we seek him. He said, "If you seek me, you will find me." We come to him, we acknowledge who he is. We come to him, we recognize the sacrifice that he has made for us, that Jesus came and died for us so that we might have life. And without that recognition, we have not started knowing God. There is knowing God and there is knowing God. Somebody like King Nebuchadnezzar knew about God when he saw the power of God displayed by Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they went straight, they refused to bow to the image and they went straight into the fire for it. And he stood there and he saw the power of God displayed and he saw the fourth person in the fire. And he says, have we not thrown three people into the fire? He said, yes. He says, I can see a fourth person. And this fourth person looks like the Son of God. And he called unto them, "Come out, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego." And they came out. Not even the hair on their body was singed. Because God was with them. But you know the difference between these two guys? One can see the power of God, the other one know God. Amen. He says, we will not bow to you. If we perish, we perish. But we will remain and serve our God. So we need to seek a personal encounter with God. And that's by confessing our sins and by acknowledging who God is. By knowing that he is the creator, our God is holy, he deserves us to obey him. And in obedience comes the holiness, because you do what he wants you to do. Because generally we are all sinners, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But God has redeemed us. God has brought us back. But he gives us an option to choose. Says, choose life and you will live. We need to choose to be on God's side. We need to choose to worship God. We need to choose to accept the sacrifice of Christ on the cross of Calvary. Because God did not make us to be a robot where he presses and we just do. Because he deserves worship, he gives us the free will to make a choice to choose to worship him or choose not to. So that when we praise him, he knows we have made a conscious choice to praise him. And our praise becomes a sweet-smelling sacrifice unto him. Like this morning, we opened up here, and I could feel the presence of God. I could sense his presence here, his joy at his people. After we've given our lives to Christ and we trust God completely, we can begin to know him more through divine revelation, through the scriptures, because God has provided us with this book called the Bible, and in it there are stories of faith. In it there are maps on how we can live a righteous life, how we can live a holy life, how we can do things that are pleasant in God's mind, what our life circle should be, what he wants us to become. All this in this book. So when you have time, it's difficult to sit down and read this. Believe me, I have tried, and other times you take it to read and you feel like, oh, I'll just have a wee nap. But when you can, take it in piecemeal, take it chronologically, take it any way you want, but make a conscious choice to study. And it will reveal to you God's plans for your life. God's plans are along as a child of God. What you need to be, how you need to go. When the devil is talking you down, you will see that God will be talking you up. This word is God-breathed. So anything he says there is true. There is no changing of it. So if God says, I will uphold you, he will uphold you. If he says, I will heal you, he will heal you. If he says, I will give you peace, he is giving you peace. And that is why we need to have one of these and to dig into it. It exalts us and brings us closer to knowing our God. Again, we know God better when we have accepted Christ. He says, I go and I will send my spirit, and my spirit will be with you. I'm not going to go through all the verses. I know my time is quite gone, but I will just go over it as I can. And the Spirit of God helps direct us. It's a conscience that's in us, and it helps us to know what is wrong and right. And we don't need to ask anybody, what is this? Because the Spirit of God is ministering to us at all times. Personal transformation. And when you begin to imbibe the Bible, when you begin to listen to God, when he begins to reveal himself to you through various ways, then there is something called sanctification. It's a change that happens consciously or unconsciously. You begin to transform. You begin to change from being the bad person into a good person, into the image of God, because the word of God begins to work new things in your life and you change. The devil no longer have that stronghold on you. You can tell him to walk behind you. You can tell him to get off. And he will, because you're standing on authority of the word of God. God reveals himself to you. You are becoming holy, because he says, you must be holy unto me, for I, your God, I am holy. And this holiness is not about you not being able to do anything wrong. It's about you being in a place where you are ready to understand, to change, to try more and more each day to be better person than you have ever been. And when the Spirit of God walks through you, it helps you to know what is right and wrong and to stay away from things that shouldn't be. We are enjoined to worship as a community. It says, do not neglect the assemblies of the righteous. And in the Bible, in Acts of Apostles, we see how Christians come together in worship, in fellowship, breaking bread together, sharing food in their own houses, relating with one another on one-to-one basis, fellowshipping with themselves and with God. And this corporate togetherness is something that is expected of us as a Christian. So it's not good enough that we're Christians and we're sitting on our sofa watching the TV, the Pastor Steve is blazing, hallelujah, and we are done. No, we are not done. We are supposed to come together as people of God, together in one place, singing the hallelujah and praising God together. Iron sharpeneth iron, brethren. We need to be together. We need to watch out for each other. We need to correct each other when we're wrong. And we need to relate with one another. There is no loneliness in Christianity. We all brothers and sisters in Christ. And we have a friend everywhere. If God is for us, who or what can be against us? Then according to his divine power, he had given us all things that pertained to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who had called us to glory and to virtue, whereby are given unto exceeding great expectations and promises, and by this ye may be partakers of his divine nature. What can I say? He is faithful. And he is God. He is in you. He loves you. So my last appeal this morning is, if you don't know God, if you've not accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, I plead with you to make that decision today. Because it's very imperative. Our life here is very temporal. It's a fleeting thing. In the scheme of eternity, 100 years, maximum we are living nowadays, 100, 105, we're gone. When we are going into timelessness, this is nothing. It's good you make that conscious choice to give your life to Christ and to choose to worship God. God bless you.
Thank you, Sams. If I can be joined by the musicians, that'd be great. I think it's incredible just how you rounded things off there, Sams, that we can be partakers of God's divine nature. God lives in us when we invite him in, and it's just such a transformational thing. There's nothing to compare with it, and it's just incredible. And we're going to sing a song as we finish our time this morning, Blessed Assurance. We're going to stand and sing if you're able to. And just really reminds us that he is the one who gives us that assurance. It is a blessed assurance that Jesus is ours. Sorry, you're getting distracted, but that's okay. Let's stand and let's worship the King of Kings as we sing Blessed Assurance. As we finish off our time today, really, if we take anything from what Sam's has said today, it's that we seek to know God, that we seek to know him more and more and more. And wherever we're at on that journey of getting to know God today, I just encourage you to press in to what God has for you. Just spend time every day praying, reading your Bible, getting to know God, and just asking him to reveal himself in fresh ways to you, to show him, to bring to life things inside you. And just I was thinking, maybe there are people today, you've never made a decision to invite Jesus into your life. It's a simple prayer, and I'm going to pray a little prayer, and you can just repeat this prayer after me in your heart. And if you pray this prayer, whether you're in the building today or whether you're online, let somebody know that you've prayed that prayer. And we just want to help you to get onto that journey, to get onto the path of knowing who God is, this incredible, amazing God who has created everything that we see, who is just an awesome God, who is your friend, who wants to get alongside you, who wants to walk through life with you and help you in the difficult times, and just to be your friend. And Father, we just pray that you would come and meet with us in this place today. Father, that we would know just that life, that freshness in our hearts today. Lord, each of us, Lord, there are people who need a touch from you today. And Lord, we just ask that you would come and that you would touch them. Father, those who need physical healing, Father, we just pray that your spirit would move in this place and bring physical healing. Lord, for Jean, as she's back at home out of hospital, Father, we pray for physical healing for her. Lord, we pray that you'd restore her. Lord, for all in this place today who need a physical touch from you, Father, we ask that your spirit would come and that you bring healing into bodies, healing into minds. And Father, we just ask that you would just do an incredible thing. I did say I was going to pray a prayer and you could pray this prayer after me. That wasn't it. But if you've never made the decision to invite Jesus into your heart, then just pray this simple little prayer. Dear God, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you that he died for my sin. I thank you that he died to make me clean, to make me pure, to make me who you always wanted me to be. And so I invite you into my heart today. Forgive me. Make me clean and help me to live the life that you have for me. In Jesus' name. And Father, for everyone who prays that prayer, Lord, we pray, may your spirit come and may there be such a sense of your peace, such a sense of your presence, Lord, that this week would be a week where the world looks different. Father, where the colours are more vibrant. Father, where life is experienced in all its fullness. And Lord, we pray that for every person in this congregation today. Father, we pray as we go into this week, Lord, we pray that you would continue to reveal yourself to us. Father, you are the source of all of our joy. And Father, may we delight in you this week, in this day and in this week that will come. So Father, we pray your blessing on every heart, upon every home, every family. Lord, we pray that you would just bless each one, that you would touch us. May we know your presence. May we just go into this week with a sense of your presence, with a sense of joy, and Father, with a sense of that peace, and knowing that you are God. You are the eternal, self-existent I am. I am that I am. You are the one who never changes, and we worship you today. So Father, we just pray for your blessing on every heart and every home. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Amen. Please stay for tea and coffee. And if you're able to help with tea and coffee, just please come and have a chat.